preaching of the word is a word from heaven, is what it is. Amen. It's miraculous how God uses a man in order to preach to his people. And so I'm looking forward to what God is going to do.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, let's praise him. Why don't we lift up our hands and our voices? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I really want to start off today with prayer. I just feel that our country is trying to be torn in its very fabric. And we need a rallying. Not around Democrats, not around Republicans, but around Jesus Christ. And we need the voices of God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, God said, I'll heal my land. And I just wonder if you just put Bibles down or anything that you're holding, except for maybe a baby back there, and just lift up your hands. And would you say, God, would you give us a rallying cry that is around you, Lord? Hallelujah. Father, in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, God, we need you. We need you. We need the unity of your spirit, dear Lord God, across this nation. Binding every demonic force, binding every demon that tries to disrupt or to break forth its wickedness and evilness across this nation, God. Lord, we need you, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness, God, as a nation, dear Lord Jesus, that God has allowed, dear Lord, the killing of the unborn and has, dear Lord, put into law to protect the abominable. But God, I pray, Jesus, that the power of your grace and your majesty would cleanse our land, cleanse us and help us, God, to be about your business like never before. And God, seeing first your kingdom arise, God, all over this world, and the power of the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, who is able to do all things and do all things well. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I don't know if you've been watching the news. I'm talking about church news. That there is a tremendous revival that is going on in the nation of Iran. People receiving the Holy Ghost. People being baptized. Hallelujah. This one Muslim man reported that a man in very, very bright clothing has come to his home every day and has told him to get a piece of a parchment or paper or whatever because he had something he wanted him to write down. And every day he's come, and he's written. And finally, you know, they asked him, well, what did you write down? And he gave over what he was told to write. And here, it started out with, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That man in bright, shining clothing gave him the whole Gospel of John, amen, personally. Now, church, you can believe it or not believe it, but I'm telling you, that's the kind of God that we are serving, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or even think. God is in the soul-winning business. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I think it's quite interesting. It's one of the fastest growing movements in the world today amongst the greatest persecuted. I didn't even think twice about being harmed on the way here today. And I don't think that we need to feel guilty about that. I'm just saying we have a lot of things and take a lot of things for granted. But one thing we need never take for granted, and that is the presence of the power and the glory of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. It's always an honor to be here at Apostolic Faith Church. It's always an honor to be with all of you. It's an honor to always be with your pastor and his wife and the Portmans. And understand you got a new son-in-law. Well, Brighton, I don't know if you're in here right now, but congratulations. Oh, there she is. And I assume that man that you're standing beside is your husband. So, that is Charter. See, I can equate this to old age now. I just don't see as well as I used to. But congratulations, Brighton. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to the first letter of the Apostle Peter. First Peter chapter 1. And I would really like for you to give real close attention to this text reading today. I thank God for my wife is here, and I've wondered why God had me step aside as superintendent, but I am convinced now that was to take care of my wife. And only thing I'm interested in doing is that she and I both finish well. Amen. That we finish well. Praise God. With no animosities, with no bitternesses, with no oughts, but clean heart, pure mind, right spirit. Hallelujah. And I really hope today that what I'm about to share with you today will be a blessing to you all. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, does anybody love mercy in the house here? Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, it cannot be corrupted, and undefiled, it will not be defiled, and it does not fade away. Reserved, everybody say reserved, in heaven for you. I've made a lot of reservations in my life, but that's one reservation that I want to make sure that I keep. How about you? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. in whom now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. I hope you caught that. The prophets were told these things, but they were not participators about this salvation that we have, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time, I want you to catch this, of time the Spirit of Christ, which was where? The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. In your hearing this morning, I want to speak to you about the desire of the angels. Would you put your Bibles down? Amen. Brother Schumacher, would you pray today? Amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Grant it, God, to you be glory, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hey, I really wonder this morning, is there anyone here that is sincerely thankful and excitedly overjoyed that you are born again, that you are saved? Would anyone agree with me? Hallelujah. Would you agree with me that Jesus has bought you and I so great a salvation? You may be seated. Purchased by the power of his own blood. Church, no wonder we need to shout about his unspeakable gift. You know, throughout Scripture, we read about heavenly beings called angels. I mean, we see all kinds of them portrayed at Christmas time. But angels which have had and are still having interaction with human beings. Whether it be the two angels that met with Abraham before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the archangel Gabriel that appeared to Mary, challenging her about being the mother of the Christ, or the angel that stood before Paul prior to a shipwreck off the Isle of Malta. You know, God has sent his heavenly messengers to deal with mankind. Matter of fact, the word angel in Greek is angelos. It means to bring tidings. It's a messenger, especially an angel. By implication, even an angel is a pastor. I think you knew that. And these are all heavenly creatures called angels in our midst. Matter of fact, to some of you this morning, you may be surprised and perhaps even shocked that right here in this sanctuary, there is an angelic presence that you and I can't see this morning. Well, some of you believe that. Because as you and I have worshiped Jesus from our heart, as we have lifted our voices and raised our hands and felt God's awesome touch, it is in direct correlation between God's Spirit and His holy angels in this house. They are literally here touching and ministering to each of us. They are engaged, and along with us are wholeheartedly worshiping our King. Again, throughout Scripture, we read about these heavenly beings and their encounters with mankind. And the Scripture is very clear and points out to us what is the primary role, amen, that angels carry. Hebrews tells us that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all," everybody say all, "ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Do we have any heirs of salvation in the house this morning? These angels have been sent here today to minister to each of us and for us. Matter of fact, many of us in our lifetime have probably more than likely entertained an angel that we were completely unaware of at the time. Now, church, we're not to worship angels, but we can't discount their part in what God uses in touching His church today. I remember Sister Becky Snow. I remember a testimony she had. She was taking some classes in Chippewa Falls up north, and she lived in Thorpe, and she was on her way home, and it was a wintry night, and her car veered off the side of Route 29, I believe it was, and she went down into a gully about 7 or 8 or 9 feet down, and it was blowing snow, and she thought, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? She prayed, God, I need your help. And all of a sudden, there was a man at her window. And he said to her, "Do you need some help?" And she said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, I think we could probably push you out of here." Think about that a minute. One man, snow, going up a grade of his 7 to 10 feet, and sure enough, if he didn't do it. And when she got back to the roadside, she looked around, and there was nobody there. See, now I don't believe. Oh, well, I'm telling you, our God could do anything because He can send His messengers. You know, Hebrews exhorts us, amen, in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Oh, how awesome it would be, Lord, right now, if you would just open everyone's eyes spiritually. so that each of us could fully comprehend what really is going on in this spiritual realm, in this very service. Amen. I'm telling you, church, have you ever just raised your hands and then all of a sudden you felt this certain touch on your life? And we know it's the Holy Ghost, but I remember my former superintendent in Ohio, Brother James Stewart. He was in his pulpit one day, and he didn't ask. All of a sudden, God opened his spiritual eyes, and he saw all kinds of angelic beings, amen, around the building. And he literally watched as some sister had her hands up, and an angel brushed down and touched her. And all of a sudden, she started, indeed, she felt the touch. I'm telling you, church, we need to understand that there's more than just you and I in this building right now. There are heavenly beings that are here to minister to each of us. Isn't that exactly what the prophet Elisha said about his servant Gehazi? He said, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Brothers and sisters, what you and I do not see this morning, and what we don't fully comprehend, is also true concerning these angels. They too do not comprehend what has and is happening to each and every one of us that are born again. What we need to realize and comprehend is that these angels of the Most High respond completely to God's commanded word. These angelic beings are eternal. Matter of fact, the angels that surround us this very moment have been in existence since God created them, and these same angels have all personally witnessed many, many things throughout history. But I'm telling you, these angels have been in existence before man was in existence. We got some real antiques in here. But these same angels have personally witnessed the result of their fellow angels' disobedience against God. Those that at one time had served their Creator but fell victim to the rebellious act of Lucifer, the angel of light. The book of Revelation states, speaking of Satan in Revelation 12 and 4, and his tail, speaking of the dragon out of the bottomless pit, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. You see, church, amen, there is angels that we now call devils. Hello? But the angels that are present with us today were witnesses of God's judgment upon those that took part in that rebellion. But these that are here this morning are those that are totally sold out and have faithfully committed themselves to God. Knowing that God means what he says. Anybody else believe that? So these willingly obey his commands. And even though they do not understand what really is happening to you and I, brothers and sisters, these angels truly desire to look into our salvation. That last part of 1 Peter that we read in the scripture text in verse 11, it says, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, speaking of the prophets, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now revealed reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Is anybody happy about the Holy Ghost that was sent down from heaven? Amen. Amen. Which things the angels desire to look into. That word desire in Greek is epithomio, which means to set the heart upon, long for, covet, desire. Brothers and sisters, what perplexes the angels has to do with you and I being saved. They don't comprehend how that you and I, after being rebellious, and at one time in our own lives who completely ignored God's word, how we have had a turnaround and about face. They don't understand how we have found grace and mercy in God's sight. Their bewilderment is, how in the world could you and I be redeemed? Is there anybody that's redeemed here today? Folks, there's at times I really wonder how I got redeemed. I didn't deserve this. I was undone. If there's anybody here that feels that same way, would you stand to your feet and would you thank God for His redemption? For His redemption of what we did not deserve. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, you may be seated. You see, their bewilderment is, how can you and I be redeemed who were not worthy to be? Being accounted righteous before the Almighty. That is why the angels continue their unfulfilled desire. They desire to look into this awesome subject of redemption. The scripture states, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Once we were lost, but now we are found. Amen. The angelic presence here in this sanctuary is desiring to understand your and my walk with the Almighty. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me that I am His own. The Lord Jehovah, in making the pattern of the tabernacle in the wilderness, gave us a foresight of this example of the Old Testament. For on top of the Ark of the Covenant was a lid called the mercy seat. And over the top of that lid was fashioned two brazen angels facing one another with their eyes fixed on that mercy seat, symbolically showing us their desire to look into mercy and forgiveness. They just don't get it. They just don't understand how you and I can be recipients of this great salvation. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God, don't miss this, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the author of our salvation, and he will give that salvation to as many as will obey him. Hebrews 5 and 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect or complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I'm sorry, folks, I don't fall for this cheap grace. Just do whatever you want to do and however you want to do it. No. That's not that grace. That is not grace, my friend. He says he gives us salvation to those that will obey him. When the Apostle Peter was being ordered by the Sanhedrin Council and by the high priest not to speak in the name of Jesus any longer, Peter said, Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And church, in 2019, I don't care what the government puts into their rules that are abominable to God. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also, don't miss this, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Brothers and sisters, what are we to obey? Romans 6:17, Paul writes, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What doctrine was delivered to them and to us? What did the people ask the Apostle Peter after being seeing the results of being filled with the Holy Ghost? It says in Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Glory! You ought to thank God that you are attending an apostolic, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, holiness church called Apostolic Faith Church. Thank you, Brother Schumacher, for holding the line of truth. I'm here to thank you for all these years, and still you're following the proclaiming and living the apostles' doctrine. Paul went on to write in Romans 6:18, he says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, is that anybody in here besides me? Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, church, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there anyone here this morning that is thankful, overwhelmingly grateful that you have obeyed God's word? Glory. Wow. Brought to us through his grace and his mercy. He's lifted us up, church. He has filled us with his own promise, the Holy Ghost. Yet all the while, the angels are continually watching, and they minister to us, yet still desiring to understand, to comprehend how this can all be. Now don't misunderstand me, church. The angels totally understand obedience to the word of God. They get it. They get it. They've seen the results of those that didn't. No wonder, understanding that we should be obedient to God's word. No wonder then the two angels at the tomb of Christ. They questioned Mary Magdalene. Luke 24, verse 1. I'm reading a lot of scripture today. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. I get excited about that. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I guarantee if they'd have walked in, it would have still been there. We'd be almost miserable people. And it came to pass, as they were much, now catch this, they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, everybody say behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I bet that did something for him. Just as it would do for us if all of a sudden one of these in this room would make himself visible. And as they were afraid, the ladies bowed down their faces to the earth. And then the angels said unto them, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Now, I never understood that rebuke, but I do now. Because we usually stop there. He is not here, they said, but is risen. Remember, everybody say remember, how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. These angels were sent right at the right time to minister to those sisters and to remind them to obey Christ's word. You're right, Brother Portman. Remembrance is a very important thing. And that's why we need to read the word of God. The angels pinpointed the problem of Mary Magdalene's sorrow. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? This is the part the angels have a hard time understanding, church. Jesus already had told them that he would arise after 3 days. And again, the angels totally understand the authority of God's word. But the angels didn't understand why that these disciples of Christ did not obey his word. What are you seeking the living among them? You know, this is a question I'm sure that these angels are still wondering. How people just like you and I, or where we came from, who say that they love and follow Jesus Christ and are still trying to find him in places that are as dead as a box of rocks. Hello? I don't know about you, but he brought me out. To realize that the very spirit of life, Jesus Christ, is in this place. Not because of what we have done, not because of this gorgeous building, but because of what Jesus Christ has done through each of us. For his word declares, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst of them. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive right here. Would you take your hand if you've got the Holy Ghost? Jesus is alive right here. What has caught our attention, church, is the very presence of Christ and his preached word that is evident in this assembly week after week. Most of us came out of places that only produced dead services, filled with ritual yet had no life whatsoever. So how were you and I so fortunate to have found him? I'll tell you how it happened: by simply believing and obeying his word. You see, church, Jesus is where people are that are in obedience to his word. And we have received exactly what he told us that we would receive. Church, we don't have to have a bunch of religious antics to woo us. We don't need fake Shekinah called theater smoke or a bunch of lighted candles to compensate for the lack of the Spirit of God. Church, he's here! Why? Because his word says he would be here. So why would we continue to look for life among the deadness of religion of this world? Why would we continue in the deadness of sin and yet try to serve a living Savior? That is what the angel was trying to get across to Mary at the tomb. Why are you here? He is risen. I think you asked that question, Brother Portman. Why are we here? He's risen. The angel said, just like he said he would. What are you doing here? He's alive. Just as he said. And once again, you know, the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And once again, 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus led his disciples to the Mount of Olives. And there, Acts 1 and 4, being assembled together with them, Jesus himself commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait, everybody say wait, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, I don't know if these were the same two angels that were at the tomb or not. But once again, these angels are seeking for an explanation by asking another question. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? Again, the angels marveled that the disciples were not immediately, everybody say immediately, obeying what Jesus just told them to do, to go back to Jerusalem. Why? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Church, if you need the Holy Ghost today, friend, my friend, I wouldn't wait a minute. I would run to the altar. I would lift up my hand. I would do exactly what God told me to do. Brothers and sisters, could it be that the angels right here in this service could be asking you and I the same question? Why do we continue to just gaze at the wonders and the blessings of Christ and yet don't do what his word has told us to do? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, that's why I give money to missions. Thank God that you do. But I guarantee you, our mission is right out our front door. Our mission is the person in the desk next to us in the office. Our mission is to the student that is sitting right next to us in our classroom. Our mission is the go in church. How dare we keep gazing at God's miracles and don't get involved in the process of how He wants to do it. Church, the desire of the angels is for you and I to be doers of God's word and not just hearers only. Stand with me today. Musicians. Hey, folks, I'm sorry you weren't dancing in the aisles today. But I'm telling you, this is the word. Those angels may not comprehend redemption, but we do. What the angels understand is the importance of obedience to God's word. And brothers and sisters, if you and I will admit the truth, we many times struggle at obeying what we know we ought to do. Matter of fact, if we're not careful, we can just simply hide within these four walls. And there's nothing, matter of fact, we dare not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But it's out there. You see, He's here. He's here. Is there anybody that's already been touched this morning by His Spirit? Or by His word. Hallelujah. You see, He can make everything that you're desiring. He can make everything right. He can heal. He can save. He can change. The older that I get, keep recognizing how much I need to change. How much I need to get rid of my inhibitions to talk to strangers. Because I never know. Coming back from Missouri just about a month ago on the plane, this young African-American man sat next to me and we started talking. Found out he was a young Baptist minister. And we watched a movie. Excuse me if that's, shouldn't say that on the deal here. But it's a movie called, it's a true movie. It's called Breakthrough. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's a true story about a boy, a belligerent and rebellious young man going to a Christian school, an Assembly of God school, out playing the ice that he was told not to play on, and he broke through and he drowned. He was dead for over an hour. True story. A man that was an atheist, an EMT guy, fireman, in the water searching for him. They gave up, and a voice said to him, "Go back." He thought it was his captain that yelled to him. Next thing you know, the pull that he had caught hold of something very heavy, and they started bringing it up, and it was the boy. No pulse, no breath. He did CPR. They got him to the hospital. Dead. They went and got his mother. They brought her in. All the medical team walked out. And a desperate mother said, "Holy Spirit, I need you now. Bring life back into John." And immediately those words were out, and his heart started beating. True story. True story.